husband, father, Elmo impersonator?
Yeah!
He wrote the arm and is currently writing its follow-up, the leg. He has everyone's phone number, even yours. He's MLB insider Jeff Passan of ESPN, only on the program.
A lot to cover with our man, Jeff Passan. Arm injuries becoming a big topic in Major League Baseball. Of course, he wrote the book, The Arm, as you just heard. We'll talk injuries. We'll talk Royals baseball with Jeff Passan. We're live at Nick and Jake's. The spot, the biggest Masters party. This side of Augusta is right here at Nick and Jake's. Three locations for you to enjoy. Shawnee, it's right there on Midland Drive in Parkville. We're here at 135th and Metcalf, northeast corner of 135th and Metcalf. Got TVs everywhere. Got the Masters on. And we've already given away a number of $10 gift cards every time somebody knocks in an eagle on 13 or 15. Kevin Timmons is giving away a $10 gift card here to Nick and Jake's. You can also come down and scan the UR code and enter to win a Yingling Flight Wilson golf bag. They've got 64-ounce pitchers of Yingling for just $18, $6 20-ounce drafts. You can take advantage of that, plus all the Master sandwiches. Now, this is done now at 5, but every day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we had it today from 2 to 5, all the Master sandwiches at Master's prices. So that's the Master's Club for $3. Ham and cheese, two. Pimento cheese and egg salad sandwiches. They're $1.50, wrapped in the green cellophane, just like the Masters. Plus, we've got all kinds of great cocktails from Tito's, as they've got Master specials, like the Ike's Transfusion, Tito's Vodka, Ginger Ale, Grape Juice, Lime Juice. That's a great one. Curtis's favorite, the Grapefruit Mule.
Oh, yeah.
Tito's Vodka, Simple Syrup, Ginger Beer, Fresh Squeezed Grapefruit Juice, Lime Wedge. Come on out and check it out. You can win all kinds of prizes. Plus, just have a great time. Curtis said it earlier. If you're a golf fan, you're going to love it. Even if you're a casual fan, you're going to understand why people love it. It's like being at the Masters, cheering the shots. They cheered Tom Watson. They cheered Tiger Woods when he dropped in a birdie on number one. And, of course, anytime anyone's even close to 13 and 15, you got Timmons booing the ball rolling because he doesn't want to give away the $10 gift cards, and everybody else in the place cheering it on. So it's a great spot to come down and enjoy the Masters. Listen, if you get here tonight, great. We're here till 6 o'clock. But remember, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the Masters will be rocking and rolling. Nobody does it better than our friends here at Nick and Jake's. Royals win today 13-3. We talked to Jeff Passan. He had some travel he had to do, so we had to tape him earlier. I talked to him right before the game got started. Mm-hmm. So the Royals hadn't crushed the Astros 13-3 for their seventh consecutive win. But we did talk a lot of Royals. We talked arm injuries. We talked to Jeff Passan, the best in the business from ESPN. Last time we talked to him, they were just 2-4. We were talking about how bad the bullpen was. And, hey, man, they don't have a closer and they don't have anyone else to try. Well, that settled down with like 20 innings of mm-hmm. shutout baseball. So I started out by asking him how much better things look now a week later.
It looks a lot better a week later. And, you know, playing the Chicago White Sox will do that, right? Like, I don't want to get too far out over my skis here and say that, you know, the Royals are back and that this is going to be a contending team. I mean, I think we can all look back at a couple of years ago when the month of April ended and the Royals had the best record in Major League Baseball. And yeah, it didn't wind up going that way for the rest of the season. But I will say this, the things that we highlighted last week, the starting pitching's been dynamite. It's been a joy to watch. And, you know, seeing professional big league pitchers like Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha, guys who have been around the block and who have been successful elsewhere, come in and do their thing here. It's just had this downstream effect of stability on this team. You know, when you go out there every night, Seren, and you can expect a good outing from your starting pitcher, the psychological effect that has on the rest of the team is so profound. And I think that's a big part of what the Royals are seeing. And, oh, yeah, by the way, like, their bullpen's pitched extremely well. And that's what they were missing that first week, because even though they went 2-4, a lot of the same things we're seeing now, we were seeing then. It just was without good relief pitching.
Yeah, and you know, we saw Vinny Pascantino finally have a big day. You know, there are parts of the game, you know, they limp through without the bullpen. That's coming around. I mean, and I get your point about the White Sox, and I agree. But, I mean, all the Yankees could do is sweep them as well. So they did all they could do. And I think now, though, the two wins against the Astros, who I know are scuttled a little bit and having their problems and dealing with some injuries, but they're still the Astros. That validates it a lot more, though, right? Like, that gives you a lot more inspiration and the come-from-behind wins. Yeah, the professionalism, not wetting your pants down 3-0, continuing to work the at-bats. I mean, that's what jumps out on an offensive side. And can you listen – I don't know why you crapped on the bullpen, but you did, Jeff. I'm just kidding. We both were talking about the problems that they had.
I was going to say, let's take some responsibility here.
Hey, they were having problems, but 18 scoreless innings.
They haven't given up a run in a week, though. Right? Like you look at MacArthur, 3 2/3 scoreless. Stratton, 3 scoreless, and these are earned runs, by the way. Schreiber, 2 2/3. Zerpa, 2 2/3. Sauer, 2. Lyles, 2. Anderson, 2. Even Will Smith's in on the game. Like, you know, if you can make it through a week with the only runs you give up coming from your starting pitchers, and at that only 10 earned over, you know, 55 innings of the last 6 games, I mean, goodness. Like, that is the recipe. And the fact that the bullpen has stepped up like it has, I don't know if it's going to continue. I still have questions, but I've been very happy to see, especially like the James MacArthur of last September show up again. You know, a guy who's in the zone, whose stuff is nasty, who's got strikeout stuff, and who looks like he has a chance to be a closer here for a while. I mean, the Royals coming into spring training this year wanted James MacArthur to grab that job. And I don't think they thought that it was going to happen this early in the season. I think they had hoped that Will Smith was going to be more of a bridge guy, but that's okay. Like that's a good problem to have when you have someone stepping up and taking the reins on an important role.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, I think we felt all along that if the Royals were going to have, you know, we kept talking about it and I'm not ready to say they're headed for, 120 wins, right? But if they were going to have an 88-win season and grab the American League Central, it would be because of the young guys, right? We had that conversation that they were the ones that had the ceiling. It would be that Bobby Witt Jr. became a true superstar, not just a star, but a superstar. Pasquantino, you know, became a legitimate middle-of-the-order bat, all those different things. We knew the bullpen. You know, Will Smith was there to kind of hold it to get to a guy like MacArthur. We just didn't think it happened this quick, right? Like that's
and it's, you know, I'll tell you the thing that I've enjoyed watching the most during this week, and it's such a tiny little nerdy baseball thing. Watching Nelson Velasquez take sliders to the opposite field,
right.
Like he did that a couple of times last night. I understand so early in the season, I do not anticipate Nelson Velasquez is going to be a 343 hitter for the remainder of the year, but we know that there's immense power there. And man, just seeing like that's maturation of a hitter, a guy who has been so prone to swinging over sliders that are on the low and outside corner to a right-handed hitter, having the patience, waiting back on them and being willing to take what the pitcher is giving you. Sometimes the pitcher is going to execute a really good pitch on the outside corner, but that doesn't mean that you can't hit it, right? It means that you can't pull it. Like very rarely, if you try and yank a pitch that's low and outside, are you going to do anything but roll over the ball? But shooting it to the opposite field, that's mature hitting right there by Velasquez. And I think we've seen, you know, maturity from him. I love that Salvador Perez is doing what he's, you know, what he always does. Like the guy is just, he's just a hitter. And Bobby Witt Jr., I cannot say enough about.
Yeah.
He's so good, man.
We'll say more about him. But how good is he?
I think, did I say last week he's a top 10 player in baseball?
I don't know. I can't remember. I, you know, sometimes I don't listen.
Yeah, you don't listen or you're old. One of the two.
No, I don't think you did. I think I would have remembered that because I actually do listen. And I remember the ones where you stick your flag in the ground. And I don't remember that. That must have been something you decided since then.
Yeah, I think you can make a really, really good argument right now that, you know, with the production, with the speed, with the power, with all of the metrics, and especially with the position. I mean, when you have a shortstop who can hit the way that he does, it's almost tough to not put him among the top 10 players in baseball. He's just, you know, Sarah Lang's earlier today, a good friend over at MLB tweeted out a list of players with the most batted balls of 110 plus miles per hour this season. And Bobby Witt Jr. was at the top of the list. You don't get there by accident, right? That's not something that you don't luck into 110 plus consistently. You do that because you are a dude. And he is a capital D dude.
I will remember that. He is a capital D dude. That's not going anywhere.
Yep.
Jeff Passan is with us here in the program. You know, are the Guardians for real? I mean, that's the team they're dueling with right now at the top of the standings. Are the Twins not as good as we thought? Very early, I get it. But what are your early returns on those two teams?
I think the Guardians are real-ish. I don't know. The Central, Seren, I thought from the beginning was going to be one of those divisions that was open enough where it's going to be something like health that winds up determining the winner. You know, I picked Detroit to win the division. The Tigers are 7-4, but they also have an even run differential right now. So we'll see. The Tigers also, you know, in their minor league system have a few guys who are going to come up and make an impact. I don't know that the Guardians, aside from maybe Chase DeLauder, who's down at AA, have anyone who's really going to be significantly impactful internally. And the Royals, they just at the top end of their farm system right now. It's not like what you see right now from the Royals is what you are going to continue to see. The Twins are, they're such a fascinating team to me because all they had to do was go out this offseason and spend a little bit of money and fill in some holes. And I think that they would have been like pretty clearly the team that you thought was going to be the best in the division. They've got Pablo Lopez and Joe Ryan at the top of the rotation. We saw in that opening series, Pablo Lopez and Joe Ryan are really good. They don't walk anyone. And they will punch guys out and they're going to have low ERAs. Their bullpen, even without Joan Duran, you know, Griffin Jacks is awesome. Brock Stewart is awesome. Like they've got some guys there, but I'll tell you the back end of the rotation is iffy. Bailey Ober has not been good. Louis Varland has not been good. And while the Twins do have some pitching depth and absolutely have the most prospect depth, I think probably of any team among those contenders, there's some questions there, and there's some questions in their lineup too. Like they've got a bunch of guys who are fine, but is anyone going to really step up and be like the guy there? And at this point, you know, I don't know. You want to see it from Byron Buxton. You just don't know if you're ever going to. Max Kepler's been awful. Carlos Santana has been awful. Kyle Farmer is hitless in 18 plate appearances. I mean, offensively, they've got some issues right now, and it wouldn't surprise me to see them shake things up and go to some of those younger guys if the ones who are up there aren't going to produce.
We all felt like the Tigers were coming. Have they officially arrived?
Again, I think they've arrived-ish. This is not going to be the final version of the Tigers in the forthcoming years. Like, there's more to come there because the most offensive production they're getting right now actually is not from their younger guys. It's from Gio Urshela and Mark Canha at this point. But Riley Green, the power stroke's coming there, and I think he has a chance to be very, very good. You know, Spencer Torkelson hasn't gotten off to a great start. Colt Keith, who they signed to a long-term extension, hasn't been great. But there's enough there, I think, to be competitive this year in a division where the competition is not going to be all that great. And that's why when I look at the Royals and this start that they're off on, it's not just in comparison, Seren, to the 56 that they won last year. You know, going 56 and 106 is an embarrassing thing, and anything is better than that, right? But I think, like, when you have a 12-game stretch where you're four over, that you bank that. And in a division where every win is going to count, those 12-game stretches where you're four up, like, that, I mean, that's a really good thing.
We're talking to Jeff Passan here in the program. Jeff, I want to get your thoughts on the pitcher injuries. I know you wrote about it. I think it was Monday. Why are we, you know, I know the Players Association is wanting to say pitch clock. They better have some real data that shows that. Because it's been
Let me say this. The pitch clock may have an effect. I don't doubt that. It would be stubborn and ignorant to suggest that after 1 year of data with big league pitchers, that we can come to some definitive conclusion on the effect of the pitch clock, particularly when you look at it like fatigue matters. And the more quickly you have to throw a projectile, the more fatigue that's going to come from that. Like, it's logical. But in terms of the actual effect compared to the other ones that the MLBPA ignored, I think it's smallish potatoes.
Yeah, and I think
I'm
sorry, I interrupted you. I apologize. Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, no, I interrupted you, and then I just started yapping. So,
go ahead. It was good yap. Good yap. You were going somewhere.
Thank you. Thank you. To me, this is two things, Seren. Number one is the drive for nastiness, and number two is a broken youth system. What I mean by the drive for nastiness is that every pitcher now wants to throw the nastiest stuff he possibly can. Nastiness comes in multiple forms. It comes in the form of a fastball that has more velocity, and significantly more velocity. You know, 5 miles per hour on the average fastball gained over the last 20 years is an absurd leap. I mean, it's the sort of thing, like, you know, the whole notion in information technology that computing power doubles like every 24 months, maybe it's even less now. That's almost what it's felt like in baseball with the rising rate of the fastball. On top of that, you've got ways to measure all of this now, and the measurement tools have completely changed the perspective of the players going out and trying to execute these pitches. During an off season, they can go into a pitching facility, stand in front of a TrackMan and a Rapsodo, which are two devices that measure not just velocity, but spin, and to a, like, crazy, you know, one RPM degree of spin. Like, they're incredible technology. But the consequences of that are that pitchers are going and trying to achieve particular pitch shapes using these tools, when maybe their bodies aren't built to go and achieve them. And the consequence of that is very simple. Guys are trying to throw things like, hey, I want to get a sweeper. Well, what if your arm is not built to throw a sweeper? What if you are more of a guy who, because of the way that your arm moves during the pitching motion, would be better served to focus on a changeup? No, I want a sweeper. Everyone's throwing a sweeper now. I need a sweeper. You see these incentives that are in place for pitchers to go out and do all of these things. And unfortunately, I think that's having an enormous effect on them getting hurt. And then the second point, youth baseball is just screwed up. It's so screwed up. I hate it. My child plays.
What way?
Okay, let's start here. There are coaches with delusions of grandeur who care more about winning games when kids are 8 and 9 and 10 years old than they do protecting their arms when they're growing. Number two, the kids, they, I'm sorry, Charles Barkley, in this situation, but professional baseball players are role models for kids who are trying to become them. And they see the guys who they love chasing velocity and chasing spin. And from a very young age, it's imprinted in them. I need to chase velocity and chase spin. Then you get into the teenage years and they realize if they want to pitch in college, the expectation of every coach out there is not, can you dot a fastball on the outside corner? You know, can you rip a slider to the back foot? No, it's do you throw 90? And so that is the goal of every youth playing baseball and wanting to pitch at the next level these days. It's that I need to throw 90. And the harder you throw, the likelier you are to suffer an injury. Like, that's just the reality. There are outliers. There are guys who were able to sustain it for their whole careers. They're the freaks. They're not the norm. The norm is the kid who, because he's trying to chase velocity and spin and is too young to know what he's doing and doesn't have the sort of coaching to buttress him, is going to get hurt because of it. And you see that more and more and more. And it ends up translating into the big leagues, because even among the best ones, Seren, there are guys who are getting Tommy John surgery in high school. And the greatest predictor of a future arm injury is
a past arm injury.
Yep.
Do we think we're talking to passing here in the program? Listen, owners are much more analytically driven. Their businesses are analytically driven. They like analytical people around them. And the analytics is going to very quickly say, don't give long pitching contracts. Is that what changes the approach, right? Like, I don't think the pitching clock's going away. They may give them a couple seconds back and all that kind of thing. They may give them some timeouts. They may tweak it a little bit. But I don't think it's going away. It's been unequivocally good for the game. So I think they've got to change the way they throw. If they start seeing in their checkbook that, like, only three or four guys are getting four-year deals and everybody else is getting two-year deals, wouldn't that be the wake-up call?
Yep, and that's the concern, Seren. I heard from a major league pitcher earlier this week, and he said, I thought this was a very interesting thing. He said, I'm worried that we're going to become running backs.
Yep. That was the term I was going to use, was, yeah, running backs. And, like, look, I think it's happening to corners as well. I think the Chiefs get it. I think that's why they traded L'Jarius Sneed. The quick twitch goes away. Cornerbacks aren't very good on their second contracts. I think the whole league's waking up to that. That's why the Chiefs got a third for L'Jarius Sneed, and I think it was still the right move. And I think on pitching, the Royals look like they're analytically driven. You know, they had to give Lugo more than I think they probably wanted to, but they had to get things rolling and prove to other guys, signing players. But then after that with Waka, it's one plus one. And I think it's going to be a lot of one-year deals. I mean, I think that's just – and I think that's smart baseball, isn't it?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's smart for the team. Like, I don't like the consequences of that for the industry, because ultimately – you know, that's the sort of thing that's going to lead to labor discord. And that's the last thing that I want. Because, you know, if pitchers suddenly are not getting paid, it's a little different than running backs, right? Running backs are, how many are there on a 53-man squad? Four?
Yeah.
Okay, there are four running backs on a 53-man squad. There are 13 pitchers on a 26-man squad.
Yeah.
Half the player population in baseball, Seren. So if you are essentially saying, you know, half of the industry is going to be getting massive pay cuts, or the structure of their contract is going to change demonstrably, yikes. Like, that does not generally bode well for future labor discussions.
Yeah, I think this, what it could do is lead us to a salary floor, which would have to come with a salary cap. And I know the players have always said, never, 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 never. Yeah, till you keep getting paid less. Like, I mean, you can say never, But smart man said a long time ago, never say never. And they keep saying it, and they keep making less. And, you know, I think eventually we're going to see a change, a shift in their approach to things and how they end up doing things. All right. Are the Astros done?
I'm not going to say they're done yet, but it's different, man. Like, they still look, as long as they have Jordan Alvarez, and as long as they have Kyle Tucker, and as long as Jose Altuve keeps hitting, which he's shown no signs of slowing down, as long as they have Alex Bregman and Chaz McCormick and Jake Myers are pretty good players, man. Like, they've got, you know, I think they've got enough to sustain this. We're also seeing them right now. It's very interesting to me. We're seeing them at a time where they are really banged up. Like, their pitching right now is a mess. So, no, I'm not going to say that this is the end of the Astros. But this is the first time I think I've looked at them and been like, huh, I wonder if asking that question is reasonable. And I think it is.
Yeah, I think it is as well. We're talking to Jeff Passan, our Major League Baseball insider, joins us each and every week here in the program. Let's get to our Final Four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get care from the experts the Royals trust to make the right call. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/royals. I'll start you with this. Who's the worst team in baseball right now? Is it a two-horse race between the White Sox and the Marlins? Is it the White Sox and the Rockies? The Marlins, who were a playoff team last year, will be better. Who's the worst team, and what's the race?
Don't forget the A's.
Oh, God, I did forget the A's, didn't I?
Yeah. I'm going to go with White Sox right now, actually, just because of the injuries. You know, Luis Roberts out for months. Eloy Jimenez out. Yoan Moncada out. Like, all the guys you looked at, and you're like, all right, well, at least they've got that. Nope, they don't.
Yeah. All right. Who wins more games in the end, Royals or Astros?
Astros.
Royals record, what are you feeling?
And you know, I think I started off the year at, it's 76 and 86 or 74 and 88, somewhere in that vicinity. I'm more bullish now.
Okay.
The formula is growing on me, but I still need to see more.
Your best golf round ever. We're celebrating the Masters here at Nick and Jake's. What's your best golf round ever?
I mean, it was does it count if it's on, like, a course?
A miniature golf course? No, it doesn't.
No, not a miniature golf. God, what a turd. That wasn't nice.
A par three?
Funny, but it's not nice.
A par three?
No, not a par three, but just anyway. I shot an 89 once.
89? Okay.
It was not a tough course, but I don't care. And breaking 90 is breaking 90.
Listen. I think it's fantastic. I tried to play golf for about 2.5-3 years. It was a disaster. I gave it up. So 89 is pretty damn good where I sit. Jeff,
thank you, Saran.
You bet.
I appreciate
you bet.
That.
Nothing but compliments from me. You know how I am. I'm an upbeat, positive guy.
Yeah.
That's how I roll.
Yeah, nicest guy in the world.
Jeff, you're the best, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Look forward to it, pal. Thanks.
That is Jeff Passan, the very best in the business. When it comes down to breaking the game of baseball, he is without peer. Jeff Passan, our Major League Baseball insider. Don't forget, we're at Nick and Jake's. Come on down. All the great Masters Fair. You're going to love it. They're on every single TV. They've got great specials going on here as well on the drinks. $4.50 bottles. They got $6 20-ounce drafts. They got $18 64-ounce pitchers. It is a great special. Come check it out right now. Plus, you got a chance to enter to win a Yuengling Flight Wilson golf bag. It's all right here at Nick and Jake's. We're at 135th of Metcalf. Come on down.
Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'm going to tell you what you need to know.
Fourth quarter of the program begins right now. Finishing strong here on a Thursday as we broadcast live here at Nick and Jake's. Your spot to come check out the Masters. Listen, all the Masters sandwiches, all the Masters cocktails. You got that special going on. You can get all the Masters sandwiches from 2 to 5 Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That special's over now, but $3 $1, $2, $1.50, wrapped in the green cellophane, just like at the Masters. The biggest Masters party is going on right now. And from 2 to 5, you roll in and Eagle, everybody gets a $10 gift card to Nick and Jake's. They are rocking and rolling here at Parkville, right here where we are at 135th of Metcalf. Nobody celebrates the Masters like Nick and Jake's. Plus, scan the QR code. You can win a free golf bag. It's the best party in town. It's here at Nick and Jake's. So come on out and see us. Kevin Timmons and his crew, absolutely the best, putting on a great, great spread here for all of us. We do appreciate it. Royals win today, 13-3. They complete their second sweep. Yes, that's 7 wins in a row. They've now beaten the White Sox 4 straight, Astros 3 straight. They outscore the Astros by 20 runs in the 3 games. And Matt Quatrero postgame was almost at a loss for words when asked to describe the incredible day that Bobby Witt Jr. had.
Yeah, I mean, what do you say? I mean, he last week he hit a few balls like that into the wind that got knocked down, at least one to right, I remember, one to center, and today he got a little smarter and hit him up into the wind.
Bobby Witt Jr. became one of just 20 players, right? 20? Mm-hmm. In the history of Major League Baseball to go 4-for-5, 4 runs, 5 RBIs, 2 home runs, and a stolen base.
Yep.
That's MVP stuff.
20 ever. They've been playing baseball for more than 100 years.
Like 150 20. Plus. Like 20 guys.
Yep.
Even if you go back to what they consider the modern era of baseball in like 1902 when the World Series began. 1902 or 1901?
1901.
1901. When the World Series began, 20 players. We're talking about 124 years of baseball. He's the 20th guy to do that. He's
23.
He's 23 and living up to the deal. I mean, they have a legit superstar.
He's as close. I mean, it's not a quarterback, but he's basically trending to what Patrick Mahomes was.
Yeah. He is what people wanted Adalberto Mondesi to be.
Yes.
A great player at shortstop, great stick. Glove above average at the most premium defensive position. Nice little building block to build around.
Yeah, he's what any team wanted their young shortstop to be, if you think about it, through baseball history. This is, yeah, I'll take that.
Sam McDowell today after the game asked Matt Quatrero why he was still confident in his team even before this win streak began.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you don't set out and think, well, we're going to win this many in a row or whatever. But what stood out to me is more the competitiveness, the desire to play at all costs, figure out any way to try to win every game. It happened for us this week. You go back to Baltimore, we had the same competitiveness. We got walked off a couple times, and the Twins beat us a couple times. So it's not like – it's never a perfect science, but the competitiveness and the way you look at these games, we've been in a lot of close games – other than the couple that have gotten lopsided, and we're going to be in a lot of those. And I think that drives the competitiveness. We're in this. It's the fifth. It's the seventh, whatever. And just all you got to do is figure out that one thing that helps you come out on top.
You know, sitting at 2-4, one of the reasons to be confident was they were getting great starting pitching, right? The bullpen was a problem, a real problem. But, you know, to Matt Quatrero's credit, and maybe to J.J. Piccolo's credit as well. By the way, Tiger Woods just missed a long birdie attempt at 9.
Still 1-under, isn't he?
Still 1-under, which puts him in great shape to try to, you know,
yes,
have a decent round tomorrow and make the cut for a record, what, 27th time?
He's
26th grade,
right,
or is he 28th grade? 26th grade, I think he is. But Tiger Woods right now 1-under at the Masters. But, you know, going back to the point about Matt Quatrero, I mean, yeah, the bullpen was a problem, but give credit to Matt Quatrero. When Will Smith was looking like he couldn't answer the bell, this didn't go on for 3 weeks.
No.
They said, we're going someplace else. And by the way, they didn't go to a guy who had a 0 ERA. They went to James MacArthur, whose ERA was as bad as Will Smith's. They said, no, we know the stuff. We trust the stuff. And I think it's pretty impressive. We said this the other day. The coaching staff earning their dollars. The bullpen looked terrible. This did not take 40 games to get figured out. The bullpen has been great ever since.
And the result is their first unbeaten homestand of at least 7 games since 1988 and just their third ever.
Wow.
And one of those, the other year was 85.
Yeah. One of the things we've talked about is the Royals have been winning in spite of Vinny Pasquantino. That has not been the case anymore, as they are now winning because of Vinny Pascatino. You know, that was the reason to buy into what was going on. Is Bobby Witt Jr. going to be batting 500? No. But, you know, he'll come back to the pack. But was everybody having career days, career, you know, weeks? No, because Vinny Pascatino wasn't hitting yet. And I think that's the reason when you look at it, you go, okay, why can this team sustain it? Right? Is the pitching staff good? Yes, it's much improved. Is the starting rotation going to continue to operate at that level? Probably not. But Vinny Pascatino is going to start to hit. Last night, 3-for-3 with 2 runs, 5 RBIs, a run scored, and he drew a walk. Today, back at it. Still very good at the plate. 3-for-5 with a run and 3 RBIs. Vinny Pascatino looking like the player people wanted him to be. He summed up the 9-run bottom of the first quite succinctly.
Yeah, that first inning was sick. That's about it. I mean, it was about as good as it gets for us, so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sick. What are you going to say? The game was pretty much over right there to start. Pascatino continued, said he was happy the team was winning during his personal cold streak, but he's happy that he's contributing now.
Yeah, it feels good to be a part of the winning. So, yeah, for me, just, you know, like we talked about the other day, keep the approach and, you know, treat every at-bat separately because that's what they are. So, you know, just try to have good at-bats every time and see what happens.
Fun player to talk to, and I'm really happy to see that that he's coming around at least for a couple of games. Look terrific. One, because they need him, and two, because I think his presence kind of helps that clubhouse out, and it's a lot easier to have that presence when you're hitting, when you're hitting 130.
Royals next go to the New York Mets and to the Chicago White Sox, two teams that are not winning baseball games, two struggling ball clubs. So they got a chance to add on. Listen, they're going to play some good teams. They're going to play the Yankees. They're going to play the teams that are playing well, Tigers, Guardians. Those are all down the road. So keep losing teams losing. Beat the teams you're supposed to beat. That's how you end up being a contender. And so far, so good. The Astros, I think, are better than this, but they're not playing well now. And the Royals handle business. Dick Vermeil has a smile on his face today.
Oh, yeah.
Keep losing teams losing.
And because they go, they've got, what, 3 in Chicago, 3 in New York, and 3 in Chicago. So there's 6.
Can I have it backwards? Is Chicago next?
You had it right. I had it backwards. Okay. 3 in New York, 3 in Chicago, 4-2. Yeah, you come back to play Baltimore and Toronto for a 7-game homestand, but you're also 7 games over. You're sitting at 13-6, and you're feeling pretty good. You've got some wiggle room. That's, I mean, whatever they're going to be, they're already 5 games up on 500. They've already got that in the bank.
And let's give some credit. I think most people are ready to start buying in or have already bought in. But, you know, those that are naysayers, yeah, they got off to a pretty good start a couple of years ago, and it didn't stick. But this one feels a lot more like the real deal.
Yes, it does. We've seen teams that we saw the record and go, that something's going to happen there. Right. Even in 03, we kind of had a little bit of an inkling. But because this was a year in which a lot was expected, they put money and talent into the roster, particularly in the pitching staff, and that's what's happening. The players who went out and got, the player they're developing in Cole Reagans, that's all coming to fruition. It is a mystery as to why their pitching staff is really good. They've got guys who can pitch now, and they didn't a year ago.
Other Major League Baseball news, Ipe Mizuhara, the longtime interpreter for Shohei Ohtani of the Los Angeles Dodgers, he has been charged with felony bank fraud after an investigation by federal authorities discovered he transferred more than $16 million out of Ohtani's bank accounts, prosecutors said on Thursday. There are tweets out there that are showing his total betting, that he bet more than $184 million, won $140 million in bets, lost $184 million, which would put the losses at $44 million. Yeah, and I don't know if that's true, but I saw that tweet today.
Holy smokes.
He was betting huge amounts, over $10,000 per bet. Now, again, fine. It seems like, you know, Shohei Ohtani is just a victim of fraud. But I ask you, what bookie that is big enough, has achieved a level of success to accept bets well over $10,000, extends lines of credit to a guy making $80,000.
We haven't heard the end of the story.
We have not heard the end of the story.
Not even close.
Something does not add up when it's all said. I'm not saying Shohei Ohtani bet, but his name was definitely used.
Yes.
His name was definitely used. Something's not right. You know, I mean, I don't get it.
Something smells right.
The Juice passed away today. Running back O.J. Simpson passed away at 76 years old, recently diagnosed with prostate cancer, which is said to be the cause of his death. How do you sum up that?
You can't. You can't. You can't separate either part of his life from the other. It's just impossible.
There are a number of interesting tweets. The Onion has written a couple of headlines.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, and listen, some of them are funny. I'm not going to lie. I laughed. It's also incredibly sad.
Yes.
It just speaks to how sad. What a brilliant career he had in football and even transcended football.
Yes.
And it just ended so horribly wrong. What a sad, sad. And the victims, was found innocent, but the victims in the double murder that he was accused of.
They're still gone.
They're still gone. But just what a horribly sad ending to what started as just a brilliant career. Brilliant life, I guess I would say.
Yeah. As of that, 2 days before that happened, few people had things going any better than he did. And it all changed.
On a podcast today, Tom Brady was asked if he could throw. He said, I'm not opposed to it. If he could play football still, I'm not opposed to it. Quote, I don't know if they're going to let me in if I become an owner, though, but I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like, you know, Michael Jordan coming back, I don't know if they would let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it. Good Lord. Opening the door. Open the door to Nick and Jake's. It's the Masters Party headquarters. Get to one of their three locations and enjoy the Masters.
We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue Burns end of the hour answer. What golfer played the most Masters before finally winning one?
Oh, boy. Ray Floyd.
Nope.
How many is it?
Played in 18 before he won in his 19th attempt.
What year?
2017. He's playing today. Older than you'd think. Well, younger than you think for having that many games or that many matches.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sergio Garcia.
Sergio Garcia.
Man. Phil Mickelson, a popular answer. He won in his 12th Masters.
Okay. Nick and Jake's the spot to come down and enjoy the Masters. Next 3 days, they've got the special sandwiches, all the Masters sandwiches at Masters prices. That's $3, $2, a buck and a half today, which is already over 2 to 5. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Our thanks to Kevin Timmons. What a great, great spot. Listen, we had so many great listeners that came out. Our buddy Keith down in Junction City.
Yeah, that's right.
Finally remembered. Junction City was out here. It was great to see him and his wife. TJ was here. We had so many great people, and I can't remember everyone's name. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But it was great to be out here. This is a great spot. If you love golf, this is a great spot to watch golf. And if you miss this Masters Party, don't. One of the three Nick and Jakes, you got to hit it. You got to hit it. It's a lot of
fun. Place to watch golf.
Yeah. It's so much fun. Everybody fired up and rooting for the Eagles on 13 and 15. Kevin Timmons does a great job. Gives back to the community all the time. Great friend of Sports Radio 810. Great friend of the program. Great friend of Kansas City. So we appreciate him and Jen, the one who really runs the show.
Yes.
We appreciate them inviting us out here and letting us be a part of their great, great Masters Party.